Hello, and welcome back to Strength is More Than a Word podcast with your host, Leo. Last episode, I had my good friend Natalie come on the show and talk about her injuries and talk about her mental health battle, and she did awesome. She hit it out of the park. Super grateful for her coming on. And then this week, we have a new guest, and I'll let her introduce herself now.
Hi, my name is Nava. I've been a gymnast my whole life in club gymnastics, and I do school gymnastics too. I'm a junior, and I'm 16 years old.
Awesome. Yeah, me and Nava have known each other for how long? Like 7 years. Yeah, me and her met through Temple, and we both have a connection through Judaism. So super cool to have her on the show. We'll hit it straight out of the intro. I mean, I think cool way, like a icebreaker almost, is what's something that's almost like unique about you and something that most people just don't know about you?
I've gotten a lot more. I'm very good at numbers. Like, this is very weird, but I know a bunch of digits of pi. I'm very good at numbers. I'm very much a math person, and I like things that are calculated. So things that have more than one answer. I just like things that have one answer. So that's why I like math, and it's kind of like a math puzzle in my brain, like every scenario I go through.
That is cool. So do you want to do something in like math when you're older?
No, I want to go to the medical field. But
well, there you go. Yeah. And then the whole idea of this podcast is about strength. So, I mean, how do you define strength and what does it mean to you?
To me, the strength means the ability to persevere through tough times. I know as a gymnast, it's way more a mental game than a physical game. I mean, I'm training like 21 hours a week, but the mental aspect of that is crazy hard. Like, I can be strong enough to do a skill, but if I am scared to do it, then it's going to stop me from completing everything and going through the levels and everything. So I just think strength is more mental than physical, because strength means you have the physical ability, but your head's in it too.
Yep, for sure. I completely agree with that. I know for gymnasts especially, I mean, just knowing, like, not even like gymnasts in general, but like hearing from Simone Biles and reading her through her articles, and also my aunt, who used to be a gymnast, it's definitely the most physically demanding sport and also mentally demanding sport, just because you have to do so many different things. And I don't know how you guys do it, but it's super impressive. And then I think, kind of the broad question about who you are is, you know, as a gymnast, I know you go through a lot of injuries and you go through a lot of, like you said, mental, you have to persevere a lot. So, I mean, what mental health battles or even what injuries have you gone through throughout your career being a gymnast, or just, you know, just in general, whether that's with athletes or athletics or just, you know, just for fun?
So I've had a lot of drama with gymnastics, new ownership. It's kind of like Dance Moms, if you've ever seen that. So we've gotten new ownership, and then he actually kicked out the team. And so the next day I was trying out for another gym, a very competitive gym, very good gym. And I was doing a new skill, and I landed right on my elbow, and I sprained it so bad at my tryout. So that was a great first impression. And then it was so mentally challenging, because I was like, what are they going to think of me? I'm trying this crazy skill that I just learned that I need my same coach to talk me through. I tried it, and what do you know, I do get hurt. And I remember the feeling of, I was right in the air and I came down with so much impact. I remember the feeling of it. Like, I heard it and I felt it, and I just couldn't even move. It was awful. And then I joined another gym. But then I had to go through the mental toughness of, like, I'm not going to be able to train, so they don't really know what I'm going to do, but I'm just going to be on their team. It was very hard mentally.
Yeah, for sure. So basically, like, you think that, like, if you say it was your first tryout after, you know, leaving your gym, so you definitely had to, you know, persevere through that for being, like you said, kicked out basically by the owner. So I guess going back to, like, the initial injury, Did you realize the extent of what you did? And then, like, did you realize the extent of it, or were you kind of like kept on pushing through almost?
I mean, I couldn't get up. I fell straight onto my elbow and I started bawling my eyes out. I had also had so much like mental like stress because of that gym, because I've known that gym for a long time and they're an amazing gym. I have many friends that go there, so I felt a bunch of people watching me. So I knew that it was pretty bad, that I wasn't going to be able to put my best foot forward if I continued. So I went to the doctor right after that. And then they wrapped it up and they told me it was a pretty bad sprain.
Yeah, which definitely is smart. Definitely the opposite for me. I decided to play through it. So play with my injury. But yeah, that's just crazy how like just one moment where, and it was like a trick, right? It was like almost like a flip almost.
Yeah, it was a pretty big flip that I just learned the week that I probably shouldn't have been doing, but it was a tryout and I wanted to impress them.
Yeah, that makes sense. So kind of going into like the mental part of that, you said you're having mental stress before you even did the trick, but then also obviously after with the fact that you joined a new team, but you really couldn't participate in it. So like, what could you kind of like elaborate on what that was like and how it felt?
It was very scary because I had been so close. I've been going to my old gym since I was like 6. My mom worked there. My sister was there. It was very close to my house. And now I had just popped up at a new gym 45 minutes away. No one I knew, no coaches. It was a huge gym. I came from a smaller gym. I was very overwhelmed. And when a new girl comes into the gym, it's like, ooh, I want to meet her. I want to know what level she is. I want to know how good she is, if she has a good foundation. But I couldn't show that. I could just talk it. So, I mean, I was like, my name's Nava. I came from my gym. I used to train a lot, but like it was all words. I couldn't really show them. And so when it came time, I had to like, hold up, I'm freezing. I knew right when I started at that gym, I wasn't going to be at my best. I had to work up, because if you lose a skill in gymnastics, you have to work every single day to get back. Like, it's muscle memory, but muscle memory stops at a point where you're not going to know where you are in the air. So being able, like having to work back to my best self at that gym, not starting there, was a very difficult thing.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds crazy for sure. Yeah, and you're talking about, like, when you go through, whether that's like, even if it's a sprain, like a little injury, whatever, it's a little bump, even you kind of lose it, you know, muscle memory takes you to a certain point, like you said, and then, you know, might flip it around and make it, and then you have to figure out, you know, mentally how to push through it. And that kind of goes for every injury, I feel like, whether it's, you know, a broken finger or it's a, you know, torn ACL, like you have to kind of, Your body can get back to where it was at, but you have to mentally prepare yourself for it. And you have to be like, all right, it's okay to do this skill. It's okay to push through it. And I definitely think in gymnastics, it's probably a massive thing just based off what you said and what, you know, other articles have said too. When you're going through like that kind of period of time with your injury and with the mental health, who was your best support guide, or where'd you get your best support from?
Definitely my parents and my grandparents and my sister, basically my close family, because at the time my coaches, I mean, they had changed. And so I wasn't in contact with them. I wasn't seeing them. So I was at a brand new place with no one I knew. So I didn't really trust anyone at that time to like confide in them. But my parents helped me so much because it was also a big change for them. They, at the time, I didn't have my license. So they had to drive me the 20 miles to get to practice there and then 20 miles back. So we are all kind of going through this big transition. I just happened to have an injury at the time, but they really helped me through that.
Yeah, I think family is a really big part of any recovery process, whether that's, you know, mentally or physically. You know, I think you just gotta, it takes a while, almost like you don't wanna, for me, it was kind of difficult to get that support from my family because I didn't want them to worry. But once I got that support, I think it really just made a difference. And, you know, like you said, it's almost like you you got to become like a team in that way. And that's what family's for, is that you have to become a team. So they began to drive you to practice. They can to kind of team up and, you know, help you get back to where you were. And then, I mean, we kind of touched on this, but when was like the moment that you knew something was wrong? You know, obviously your body told you physically something was wrong, but also when did you know kind of mentally that, you know, there was more to it?
So before the injury, that same day I was trying out, I was very on edge because it's a great gym. However, I have many friends that have gone there like earlier in the summer. I know all of the coaches and they know of me, but we've never really spoken. And I just felt so many eyes on me. It was so much pressure. I knew like right in warmups that that gym wasn't going to be the best fit for me, even though it's a great gym. And then once I got injured, I wasn't being safe. I was trying to show them everything I could do instead of trying to be safe. So at that moment, like right when I was doing a tumbling pass, I was in the air and I landed like right on my head and hands instead of my feet. And I knew at that point that gym wasn't right for me. My mental health was going down the drain that day. And my elbow was seriously injured.
Yeah, that makes sense. I kind of want to pick out something what you said. You said it wasn't the right fit for you. Whoa, with the gym and stuff. I guess when you talk about the fit, like the right fit, I think, you know, in all sports, even soccer, even basketball, you know, with teams and everything, especially like a team sport, how'd you kind of decide that this wasn't the right fit almost, or if this wasn't going to work out just for you?
I knew it was probably the only option I had before I found the other gym I went to. It was probably the only option. So I was trying so hard to fit into what I believed was that was my only option. So I need to make it my only option. But I didn't realize that I was trying to change myself to fit into what they wanted me to be until I went to the other gym and I realized they're going to love me and train me who I am and what skills I have, regardless of they're going to change my skills and change the way I do things. They're very accepting. Not that the other gym was very accepting. I just personally felt like I was being pushed into a box.
Yeah. And like you said, like you're kind of almost like a, I would say like almost maybe like a false identity almost, or like you kind of perceived it in a certain way with this one gym. So, you know, I guess the confidence to you be like, all right, this is not just going to be the right fit for me, and kind of that mental awareness that you knew this wasn't, you know, going to be the right fit. And then how did your sense of like trauma with your injury like affect your sense of self, whether that's confidence or, you know, anything that affects your sense of self?
For me, it was very much I had to be defensive of what I could do, because arriving at a new gym, they have never seen me perform. They've never seen any of my skills. I can tell them what I've done, but I was very like telling them all my skills. But in the back of my head, I was like, what if I can't do it anymore? So it was extremely tough. I was under a lot of stress to be my best every single time. And I felt like a burden because they had just gotten a new member of the team, but I can't help them with team score and things because I can't compete, because I can't do anything. The girls, I couldn't really connect with them because I was just on the sidelines watching practice instead of practicing with them, and I don't know them. So they can say hi, but it's not really, they don't know me. And so I felt like such a burden on everyone. And I felt like I had to defend what, like my ability to do things, because I had a long time to work that way up, back up to where I could be.
Yeah, so like, when you said like you defended yourself, you kind of were like, you know, almost, I don't know how to say it. You're almost like, you know these skills, you know, like you can do all of this, but they don't know. So you're kind of almost not like trying to like impress them, but almost trying to like make sure they, like you said, defend yourself, because like they weren't able to see like the way you performed. And even if this being a top gym, like you wanted to kind of showcase it even if you couldn't. And so definitely, like, did you, when you were doing that, did you think, you know, maybe during that time when you're kind of going in defensive mode, that were you worried that when you did get back, if you like hypothetically decided to stay with this gym and you hypothetically got back to the level, did you ever worry like, were you going to be able to complete those skills that you were talking about? Or like, were you thinking, am I going to be able to do what I said I could do?
Absolutely. I was like, once I get back into the groove of gymnastics, I need to remember how to do these skills and not be scared of them. Because I was a very mental gymnast, meaning I was scared, especially beam and bars. I was so scared to flip backwards without my hands touching the beam. Just feet, jump, go back to feet. That was incredibly scary for me. And I used to have those skills where you could go backwards. And I was so scared. But it was also like my elbow, having that impact of jumping backwards, putting your hands on the beam. It was such a hard impact for my elbow. So it was hurting, but I didn't want to tell anyone because I had finally started to show them what I could do and get back to that skill level. And so I was very scared to tell them. So I didn't tell anyone. And it kept hurting for months and months after that.
Yeah. So you almost like kind of pushed into that pain and pushed into that because you kind of started, like you said, getting that groove back. Do you think that ended up doing more damage more damage to your elbow, to that kind of mental part, if you decided, like when you started pushing into it, or do you think it kind of just went away over time?
I actually think it was better that I started earlier doing things, because I did need to work on persevering through pain, not crazy pain that's going to injure me more. But at that time, it was my elbow was healed. It was more like mentally, I feel like this hurts, because doing the same exact types of skills, I feel like they would hurt, but they don't. It's very much mental. You can like mentally feel that pain. And in gymnastics, I mean, you train every single day for 4 or 5 hours practices, and that's for repetition. If I lose my groove of a skill, I'm going to have to work so hard to get that back, because like, it's more mental than anything. Like my body knows how to do a little skill, but my brain, I get so confused and dizzy. So it was better for me that I worked those harder skills earlier so I could get my brain prepared to compete later on.
Yeah. So almost like a mental barrier that you had to kind of climb over in order to like get to that skill again. Yeah. I remember like if this resonates with you, like, you know, I think you said something similar to this that, you know, almost when you're starting to heal up, you're starting to get back to where you're at. Like my doctor once told me that he broke his wrist, and he said once he got back to like playing hockey again, like he would almost hide his like hand in his sleeve to almost like get away from that impact, because he's worried that it was going to happen again. So I think you kind of touched on it a little bit before, but like when you were starting to get back into that groove, did you kind of notice maybe you were almost being, your body's like subconsciously protecting you from, you know, that possible worry of re-injuring?
Definitely. Every time I was trying not to use my hand for certain skills, so going one-handed, which was not a great idea. And I was putting more weight on my other hand, which means my wrist started to hurt, my elbow started to hurt, my shoulders, they started to hurt because I was protecting that elbow, which isn't good. I probably should have just stayed out a little longer and let myself heal so the other side didn't start to hurt.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I also wanted to touch on a point that you said about, you know, you're a very mental gymnast, and, you know, that kind of resonates, I think, with a lot of sports, whether that like soccer, swimming, whatever it is. Like you said, you're very mental. So could you elaborate on what you mean by like, you're like a mental athlete rather than you kind of just go kind of like that?
Yeah. So I, especially when I was in club, I was training 21 to 25 hours a week, I think. I'm pretty sure it was 21. Oh, yeah. So I was very much a mental gymnast, meaning I was scared to do skills. I had like a certain thing I had, like a little dance I had to do before my tumbling pass. And if that dance wasn't perfect, I wouldn't go. I'm kind of like OCD. I had a lot of little things I've had to do. I have to start at the same exact number for the vault runway, so my steps were exactly perfect. And if they weren't perfect, then I wouldn't go. And I felt like a burden because my coaches were like, it's fine. Not everything needs to be perfect in order to do things, even just basics. But I was like, no, it has to be perfect. I was very mentally like aware of my skills and stuff that I know I'm not going to do this or I'm going to bail out of this skill, which basically means to stop the skill mid-air, which is not smart. So I've had trouble just going for a skill. I have to think about it, think about how it works, what every single part of my body is supposed to be doing in that skill, which is good. And it's it doesn't have its rewards sometimes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, definitely. Like you said, like you had to have the perfect amount of steps. You had to have the perfect warm up, all that stuff. It definitely, I think, correlates to, I mean, I think gymnastics probably is more like probably want to have it more perfect because you're doing all these crazy tricks. But like, I remember for soccer, like I had to do my specific stretches, my specific like warm up routine, if I didn't feel right, then like subconsciously that would render my performance on the field. And so like, for instance, like the one game that I didn't warm up properly, you know, my game was completely off. And then the next game I warmed up the way that mentally, like that's how I warmed up. Like that was like a great game. So I definitely think, you know, I'm probably, like you said, probably a lot more severe for gymnastics because of all the tricks and everything you're doing. So yeah, definitely super interesting and intriguing on how that, like you said, it's almost OCD, but it's not OCD because it's kind of there for your protection in a way. Yeah. Cause if you don't want to go into a trick, like you said, and stop halfway because you messed up like your step count or something.
Yeah, the beam is only 4 inches wide. So if you make one wrong mistake, if your toe, if your pinky toe is off the beam, then you're going to be fully off the beam. And it's your job to try to not land on your head at that point. But it definitely happens. But that's why we have mats.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys do the beam. Mine blows me every single time. To kind of go back into the mental part, what was the hardest emotion that you had to face when you're going through like the, you know, injury and then also like how you said, like your kind of mental block?
Honestly, it was probably jealousy because all of my friends had moved to various gyms around where we live and they were all thriving under more strict gyms. They were like becoming these amazing gymnasts and I was kind of just stuck on the sidelines watching, not knowing when my elbow, I didn't even know what was wrong with my elbow. Like I knew it was a sprain, but I didn't know how to fix it. I wish I knew exactly what had moved, what had happened to it going back. But basically just knowing that everyone's getting better right before competition, because this was August and we start competing in December. So not that much time. And I had to get new routines. I had to plan my routines out with skills and everything. So just knowing that everyone was getting better and preparing for that season, but I had no time to prepare for a whole 7 meets out of the year, including states and regionals and everything.
Yeah, I actually like that. Jealousy is definitely, and like when I think back to it, like when you're talking about how you saw people improve and everything, you know, like I touched on that in my book and stuff on how like it was hard to see everybody start improving, but I never kind of put a emotion to that. So yeah, jealousy is definitely like, I like that, like almost emotion, because I do think like in an injury situation specifically, like you see all your teammates, especially in a team sport, you see all your teammates improving, all your friends improving, and you're kind of sidelined and just, you know, there, like this like obviously it sucks, but it's like you said, you kind of go back into that almost resentment, be like, what did I do specifically to, how could have I changed the path I'm in right now? And I definitely think, you know, in team sports, I think that's probably definitely one of the hardest things to kind of overcome is just, like you said, watching those, your teammates and friends kind of improve while you're kind of, like you said, sidelined. And then what was the most misunderstood part that you felt going through your battle?
I've had many overuse injuries, and to me, it felt like another overuse injury because the injury never went away. Like, I still felt my elbow doing gymnastics a year later. It was just a little tweak in every single skill I've had. I felt the most misunderstood part of it was why it was happening. I mean, I thought I'd taken a bunch of time to heal, but it was still hurting. And it only hurt in certain skills. So low impact skills, it actually hurt more because I was using more of that muscle and there was more weight. But hard impact skills, where I was on my elbow for a little bit and then I was off of it, it was perfectly fine. So like slow skills, like back walkovers, just basics on floor and beam, those actually hurt so much more than doing bars full swing with my elbow. I was just, and my coaches didn't know it either. And so I was trying to explain how I felt, but they were also like, I don't know why this is happening. And I kind of just, it was very hard because I felt like I was lying to them, but I just truly didn't know what was happening. So that was the hardest part. Like, I was telling them what hurt and what did it. How could bars not hurt my elbow, but a little skill on beam hurt it? That was the most understood part for me and everyone around me.
Yeah, I think, yeah, like that, the why that you said, I think that's very, very hard to get over, is like, why is it kind of repeating? Why is it kind of like not getting better? And, you know, I think it touches on both of our things with you being, like you said, like having to deal with a lot of overuse injuries. It's like, why is this not getting better? Why is there no fix? And that kind of correlates back to, you know, also my injury with, like, that's kind of at the sense where I'm at right now, is like, why am I not getting better after, you know, 10 months after surgery? And so I think, I guess, like, now that you're a gymnast again, or like a, you said, school gymnast now, I mean, how'd you kind of overcome that, why that's happened to you, or kind of like resentment, but not fully?
So I quit club last year, and now I just do high school gymnastics, and I'm actually the captain this year. I've realized that club, that school gymnastics is just for fun. I'm not trying to get anywhere with school, and being captain is just like, I want my team to do the best that they can, not necessarily me. And our practices are much shorter. And I just realized there's not enough time, because I can't do gymnastics in college. So I don't have that much time to still be in the gym. And soon my body's just not going to let me do gymnastics, because you really grow out of it when you get older. But I just realized there's not enough time to worry about why my body isn't in perfect shape right now, especially my elbow and everything. I just have to remember how much time I have left in the sport. I'm a junior, so I have this season and next season, and then I'll be done forever. So I just have to realize that this is supposed to be fun, and I'm having a great time in that mindset, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely like that. Yeah, for sure. Just kind of getting over that why. It's like, you know, just kind of almost like you said, living life, even, because you know, like, you don't have that much time left in your sport. I think that's actually a super good mindset on going forward, is like, you know that you're not going to be going into college. You know that you're not dedicating yourself to the gym again, but you're there to have fun. You're there to support your team and your school. I definitely, that mindset's also is super awesome. Were there times that you felt like giving up, or, you know, just like, you're like, I'm done at this point. Like, see you later. Like that kind of thought.
Absolutely. So I'm going to steer like, towards after my elbow. I've had more overuse injuries, such as shin splints, which are little fractures in your tibia, actually. I've had those for so long. And I was also like, what's the point of doing gymnastics if I'm hurt all the time, if my coaches might think I'm lying because I'm hurt all the time with these small injuries? Like, if my wrist hurts one day, I'm not faking it, but it's never hurt and I've never done anything to it. I felt like giving up many times. And right after I joined my gym, I had a year with amazing coaches, but then all of them decided to leave the gym. And I had coaches that were not so great for mental health, because they were focused on getting girls to college, but I had already realized that my ship had sailed for that. And I wasn't going to be this little 8-year-old who they were trying to develop into a new gymnast. I was already like pronounced as a gymnast. So I wasn't going to fit into their little box, but they really made me. So I knew that time was the time I had kind of fallen out of love for the sport, having to deal with so many things I had never dealt with, like them forcing me to do skills that I cannot do because I'm so scared of them. And I will bail out of skill and land on my head every time if I tried it. Just those times I felt like giving up. And so I told my mom, I'm putting in my notice and I am leaving. And that actually cleared up my mental health so much.
Yeah, I definitely completely agree with that and resonate with that. You know, was it hard? I guess was it, I definitely can assume it's definitely really hard to get like putting that notice and like I'm done. Or was that kind of did that come easy to you just because of you're kind of done with like all that BS and stuff?
As soon as my good coaches left, I knew that that place did not have my best interest anymore, and I knew I had to leave. And it was hard because that gym I then called home for the past 2 years, I think. But I realized that the home was in the coaches, not in the gym. So I actually realized that my coaches were opening a new gym secretly. So I decided to join their gym. However, it just didn't work out. Like, I fell out of love with the sport. Not to say that it was any of their fault. They were amazing. I just knew that it was my time to leave club.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I definitely think did it take time for you to kind of like let that set in, or did that like come kind of natural, or like I guess kind of rephrase that question I asked before. It's like, did it come naturally that you're done with it, or did it take you like a long time to like process it, sit down with the idea because this was your life for, you know, since you were a little kid?
It took me a long time because I've been a competitive gymnast since I was like 6, you know, in those shiny, sparkly leotards, training every single day, doing conditioning crazy, crying because of conditioning like crazy. But I realized that when I hated going to practice every day, still in an amazing environment, the new environment with my favorite coaches, my favorite teammates also moved with me. I realized that if I still didn't love my sport in that super safe, the best possible environment, then I knew it was time for me to leave. And I have not regretted leaving club ever since. It's been the most amazing thing ever because now I can do things focusing on other things that I want to go into in the future. And I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, that's definitely awesome. Yeah, no, it, like you said, it took a while, especially for a sport that, you know, was your life for basically growing up until now. Yeah, I definitely think it takes a long time to process. And, you know, for me, it was definitely like I wrote it in my social media post. It was definitely the hardest decision I've ever had to make because, you know, it's letting go of basically something that you've grown up with and that you've been kind of put into. And so, you know, even when I think about it now, I mean, it definitely still gets me upset that it's gone to the point. But, you know, when almost it's like a collective, like you have decided it, and then you've also have medical professionals that decided it to kind of just, it eases the pain in a way. But I think if when your kind of mental side is like, all right, this is time for me to let go, I think it kind of suits that process down almost and makes it a little bit easier to, you know, not get so upset about or get so defeated about.
Yeah, I still have a few regrets. Like my last ever competition, I didn't know it was going to be, and I fell 3 times. I landed right on my head. It's a really cool fail video, actually. But I missed going to regionals, which were in Alabama. And that was the last time I would ever compete with my teammates and my coaches and ever in gymnastics. And I was very sad. So that's my biggest regret, like taking those competitions. I was so stressed out for granted because I realized I would miss it so much. But looking back, I'm so glad I quit when I did because I quit on my terms, not someone else telling me I had to. I knew it was my time. And I'm experiencing gymnastics from a different perspective now, more for the team, more for fun, because that's what high school is. So I'm really glad that I have that outlet to still do what I love, but in a different environment.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's it's super cool. And, you know, definitely when you said regret, I mean, yeah, I think with any injury that's taken you out of the sport, or like even just mentally that taking you out of sport, I think it always comes with regret. And, you know, I can go through a list of regrets that I have with my injury and how I could have, you know, avoided it. I could have sat out the game. I could have, you know, decided not to wakeboard or something like that. Like later on, like there's so many things that I could go on about like the regret. But, you know, like you said, once that, like you kind of come to, you know, that mental side where it's like, all right, this is time for me to, it's time for me to take a step back and then maybe find my way in a different way. So with you finding your way back with high school gymnastics is super, super cool and super, you know, like inspiring. What helped you kind of start healing, you know, like what helped you kind of get that transition that, you know, like I can do high school gymnastics, that I'm not going to do club anymore, like, or in just in general, like what started to help you heal?
Knowing that my coaches were very in support of my decision and my parents were, I feel like everyone around me really knew it was my time. I feel like I'm talking about death, not my time, but my time to figure out what gymnastics meant to me in a different light, because the competitiveness wasn't good for me anymore. It was turning me into a monster, especially at home. My mom had to deal with that. But I feel like everyone like supporting me through that, it really helped me and made me realize that I'm not weak for giving up. I'm advocating for my mental health by leaving and having so much more fun in high school and being able to do other things, like more things at Temple and more things at my school. It was such a great decision.
Yeah. And yeah, it's definitely awesome that you kind of came one with that. And you, like you said, you don't regret it, that you've kind of like you found your new way and you found your new passions. So it's super, super cool and inspiring to hear that. What is something that you found surprising about yourself during your healing process and even after your?
Something I felt surprising about myself, probably, I'm not sure. I was very confident in my decision. I'm very much like I'll think out everything through. And I didn't realize that until I was put in tough positions, like with my elbow, thinking about what gym to go to next. I just got kicked out, as well as my whole entire team for no reason. And then, okay, let me try a new gym. Okay, I just hurt my elbow. What do I do next? I realized that I was very confident in my decisions after thinking them through. I'm not just a person that can make a decision without thinking it. I realized that I'm very much a critical thinking type person. I'll think of every single outcome before something happens. So I'll plan my drives. I have a schedule. I'll do every single thing. And I didn't realize that until I quit gymnastics.
Yeah, I think that's super cool, like to have that kind of thorough thinking with everything and, you know, processing out, because I think a lot of the time, you know, some decisions are made on impulse. So for you to have the ability to think on, you know, think it through, think, this is this going to be the smart decision for me? Is this going to benefit me? I think that's super cool. And, you know, I think it can have its positive and negatives, because, you know, when I was like back last year, I did the same thing. I thought through everything, good and bad. Are there any moments where you catch you like yourself kind of going back to your old sense of self with just like that you might have not done anymore? So like, I guess a better way to rephrase it is like, when do you ever catch yourself being that kind of, you know, your old self back being in like competitive gym like you were?
Yeah, I was a very different person than I am now. I was more outgoing and now I'm more introverted just because of classes and everything. But I like who I am more now than I was. I feel like I've grown a lot mentally. And I was very stressful. I was a stress ball of a gymnast. I stressed about everything, because getting up on a 4-inch piece of wood, 4 feet above the ground with no mats, it's very scary. And I find myself doing crazy things like going whitewater rafting, I'm still like a little bit scared to do, which kind of reminds me of standing on the beam, knowing I have to flip backwards or else I'll be kicked out of practice. It's very scary, but it's kind of like fight or flight in gymnastics. They always said choose flight, because that's when you're in the air. So I've kind of always taken that memo with me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's super important, super cool to take with you. You know, I think, like you said, it can be very beneficial. You know, you're doing new things, new like stuff that's like a general adrenaline rush. You know, whitewater rafting. You know, it still scares you, but you know, it's like you've gone through this before, and like you can push through it almost. And then, I guess if you could go back in time and talk to your old self, before you went through all these issues, what would you say to your old self?
I would just tell her that it is everything worked out. Even though I didn't leave gymnastics how I wanted to, like ending the season, I left very peacefully and it was my decision. And I would tell her that after my elbow injury, I had found a home at another gym and that was the best thing. I met such great friends, such great coaches too. I would just tell her that everything's going to be okay. And the practices, they can suck sometimes, but they made me such a better person and they made me realize how to persevere through tough times. And I would not change that for the world.
Yeah, that's super cool. I agree with that. If I would go back in time, you know, to last year before I went through my spiral, it's like, you're going to get through, and two, that this is going to be the other side is a lot better than it was before. You know, you have so many different new opportunities, so many different new passions. I think, like, kind of just telling your old self that you can get through that, you know, hurdle, even if it's going to be difficult.
Oh, and also that it's okay to not be known as the gymnast. I was known as the gymnast everywhere. I was the most athletic, like in PE. I was known as the person that could flip. I used to show off my flips. But kind of realizing that it's totally okay to not be known as that crazy big athlete anymore. I've had such better friends made from them knowing the little things about me than just knowing what I can do on the gym floor.
Yeah. And I wrote about this before, is like, it's almost like a kind of almost like a sense of reward when you kind of introduce yourself that you're not the athlete anymore, that you're not like, you're not the person that does flips and everything. I mean, it's a super cool thing to introduce yourself as, because, you know, athletes are such a big thing now. But, you know, I think it's just super cool to have like a different way to introduce yourself, that you're like, I'm not a soccer player, I'm not a gymnast anymore. Like, because that's, I think, like, when I, for instance, like, when I was back in time, like, when anytime someone would come up to me, I'd always introduce myself as a soccer player and always introduce myself as, like you said, an athlete. And so now that I can introduce myself as someone different and someone that's, you know, just with different opportunities, I think it's super rewarding and super, like, you know, I don't know. It's almost like a different sense of reward because you found something that's beyond that, like, main passion. And then what is something that you would want a listener to take away from your story?
Definitely that if you keep persevering, then there is another side. I did not think I would ever get out of a toxic place, such as a certain time, a period in a gymnastics gym I was at. But knowing, being true to myself, really, because once I was true to myself, I realized that that was not the place for me. I was not being looked out for there. And just being honest with yourself, because I was the only one who knew it wasn't the right place for me. And I was the one who ultimately made the decision to stop my club. And that was the best thing I could ever do. So just being honest with yourself and knowing what you want to do deep down is what you should do.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And then, you know, before we end the podcast, would you like to touch on anything that, like, you know, that you've kind of started or kind of found, like, you know, for instance, the medical field for you, or, you know, just, or something that's kind of cool that you found, you know, after the.
Yeah. So I start a new job tomorrow that's in the medical field. I'll be an intern at an eye doctor place, and I am in doing the gymnastics team. I'm captain of the gymnastics team this year, and I'm so excited for that. And I'm in many clubs, like student government. I'm the secretary of that. Just a lot of clubs, like computer science and math clubs. I really found my belonging at school, which is great because I'm not just the athlete anymore. The athlete in a few different clubs. And it's just really amazing now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so, like you said, do you want to be an eye doctor? Okay.
Super, yeah, cool. I do.
Like an ophthalmologist, like an eye surgeon, or just, you know.
I'm thinking optometrist.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Super cool. Yeah. Yeah, it's super cool that you're able to bounce back and then, you know, find yourself in school. I think school, especially around here, you know, there's so many different opportunities, and especially public schools, like, you just have so many different outlets you can go to, whether that's, you know, school clubs or, you know, finding yourself something back into like an athletic, whether that's, you know, being a team captain or being like, you know, a water boy, like whatever it is, like you, like just finding your way back and using school is so like, you know, such a I don't know, kind of like a blessing in disguise, because you know school sucks, but finding your finding new passions through taking advantage of the size of the school and the opportunities that you have is super, you know, super cool and super, you know, inspiring. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and you did awesome. So thank you so much.
Thank you.